Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Okay, let the record state, some of us are smarter than the average fan. Others, not so much. Whoever booked Lashley and Sami Zayn, for example, this is the Raw Reaction.
Y'all get the guns, the drugs, for my generation, I'll take the fall. The state, and across the nation, and it's a sin. The guns, the fake, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out.
This is the Raw Reaction. We are live on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Good evening, everybody. June the 11th, 2018. I am your host. My name is Harry Broadhurst. Joining me at this time, the Down Since Day One co-host, Tony Estero.
Yeah, that's me.
And the third man, Andrew Ballas.
You may be live, but my mind is on tape delay, man.
Smooth, deep.
That feels like a Bill Hicks quote.
Dude, that's got layers. Kind of like tonight's Raw.
Yeah, layers of
some
crap.
Of it was, some of it was better than other parts of it. I was entertained after the last couple of weeks. I thought this Raw was probably the best one that we've had in the build to Money in the Bank. Not saying a whole lot, granted, but you guys know me. I prefer my stories being told in the ring, and there was a lot of in-ring content tonight. So
tonight's show was like a nude magazine with no actual nudes in the middle. You know, the front page was nice and appealing. The back page is also nice and appealing, but in the middle, nothing but stupid articles.
No page six girl, god damn it.
So what you're saying is it's like when Playboy got rid of the nudity.
Well, that was short-lived.
Yeah, goddamn right.
Speaking of short-lived, she's cute.
All right, so you're on a bit of a time crunch this evening. One of our people, specifically the Down Since Day One co-host, unfortunately has a work comment a little bit later on tonight, so we're going to be running kind of an abbreviated format here. The three of us are each going to pick a talking point from tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw, and we will discuss those particular segments in detail. We will then be going right into our final reaction for the show, and then following said final reaction will be our prediction for Money in the Bank. Andrew, since this is your first time working on the abbreviated format, I'll let you pick your talking point first. The one thing about Raw that stood out the most to you that you want to discuss right now, go for it. The floor is yours.
Oh, wow, put me on the spot. Thanks. Like we could have gone over this in our chat prior, you know, like a pre-show meeting, but no, let's do it all slapdash. Okay.
Andrew, I don't know what Harry's doing. I have no idea.
I will point out the fact that I actually specifically said this to both of you in our group chat before the show, so I don't want any shit from either of you.
And you didn't mention what your topic was, so why should we fall in line? The topic of conversation was nothing pertaining to the show.
Oh, no, it's easy for me because I can just adjust on the fly based on what you guys decide to discuss. So what I'm telling you, Andrew, is pick a goddamn segment already.
Wow, he's that good. Jesus, we are working with a master here.
Fucking professional. I am in awe. Hold on. The tape delay is catching up. But anyway,
you know,
so
I just wrote a press kit for my other podcast, for sponsorship and whatnot. And, I mean, I'm just going to quit.
I mean, I'm nowhere near the level of quality that Harry Broadhurst is. Look at this guy. Look at this fucking guy.
You should have got Harry to write it for you.
That's true.
Somebody
he could have put a lame lead in the beginning.
All right, so my talking point will be the obvious talking point because it's the only damn thing that I really cared about this entire show. And that's the main event. It told a decent story. It was decent action in the ring. It was entertaining. It was fun. Granted, there were a lot of redundancies from previous matches we've seen with Braun and a lot of guys ganging up on him. But that aside, it was fun. I liked it. It was not a bad match. Good way to end everything on not really a sort of high note, but mostly just everybody looked good in a weird way, even though Braun still went over. So, sure, I guess that kind of proves Braun's not winning the match, but nobody really thought he was anyway. But still, fun match. I was entertained at the end, finally, so hooray. I kind of went home happy, so to speak.
Let me ask you your thoughts on the segments that led into the match here with Kevin Owens approaching both Finn Balor and Bobby Roode.
I mean, that's typical heel stuff. It was fine, but why am I impressed or surprised? He's the big guy. Let's gang up on him and talk to the two baby faces who are skeptical but will eventually just, you know, placate to the decision because it's what's best for everybody. Okay. It was fine. They did the jobs well, but it wasn't, like, groundbreaking.
Tony, your thoughts on the segments as well as the main event as well?
Kevin Owens is great with the little things. I mean, handing Finn a jar of olives as opposed to an olive branch I thought was funny. Funny enough to be different than what we've seen multiple times because that's what tonight was. Seeing something, you know, for the umpteenth time, getting everyone together to go up against the big guy. Totally predictable and cliche, but because it was Kevin Owens, it came off pretty well. I thought that the main event was great. I thought it was a good time. I enjoyed watching it. It goes to show that. Well, you know what's funny? I was thinking during the match, like, these guys have literally no reason to fight other than putting it all out there. And then tonight was a weird instance where there was really nothing to prove. Like, kayfabe-wise, like, they could have just walked out of the match and said, nah, I'm already in the match Sunday. There's nothing to show off. There's nothing to do here. But for whatever reason, they wanted to fight. And then Corey Graves said something during the women's match, like, why wouldn't they put their best effort on any night? That's why they're here. I don't really see that much anymore. You know, there's not a valid reason why someone wants a match. Typically what you see is what Jinder did, which is, oh, you thought I meant me? No, I meant the guy that's one-third of me. And what happens is it comes off a little, like, you know, cliche and just boring. Tonight we saw two matches that bookended Raw where there was a lot of effort put in, and for the most part they were successful in what they were trying to do with a few glitches and mishaps, mostly in the women's match. But as far as the main event goes, yeah, it was great. And it wasn't one of those moments where who do we need to keep strong? Who do we need to look good? Because everyone did look good. And just it's upsetting that we're all well aware that that's possible, and yet more often than not, they're unable to do it. Tonight, they did just the right job.
Yeah, I think that the most important thing to come away from this main event is that all of the guys had their opportunity to shine. Strowman gets to look like the monster that he is. Owens gets to look very intelligent by eventually getting everybody to come around to his line of thinking. And both Roode and Finn Balor got to hit their finishing moves on Strowman and have visible pinfalls, if not for broken up three counts. Granted, those visible pinfalls don't mean anything in the terms of a Money in the Bank ladder match, but still it puts them at that level where they look like they're capable of beating Strowman in a setting where they're in a one-on-one match rather than in a multi-person opportunity. The other thing that I want to point out too is
before you start, Harry, if you do this right, the idea that Finn Balor can beat Braun Strowman is readily apparent, and it's something that they could use for quite a while. You could make a David versus Goliath match happen right now. Neither one are really doing anything after Money in the Bank, I'm sure. So it's there. The seeds are there, and if they do it the right way, I think it would be a really good story to tell. They're, you know, with any given sport or competitive, you know, thing, there's always that one team or that one guy, you know, like there's always a Packers to the Vikings. Like there's always that one where you're just like, son of a bitch. Like, and I think if they do it correctly, Finn Balor could be that to Braun, and it wouldn't hurt anyone. But of course, that's assuming that they can do that correctly.
Yeah, Strowman mentioning that he wants the Money in the Bank briefcase to go after Lesnar with. You can use that briefcase to have somebody else go after Lesnar on Raw. I mean, I think it's more likely that that briefcase ends up on SmackDown. But you could use that briefcase to have somebody go after Lesnar, and then the person who takes down Lesnar is going to look like an undefeatable force going forward on the Raw brand after they get the Universal title off of the now longest reigning heavyweight champion of the modern era in the WWE. All right, Tony, you're up next. What's your talking point for the evening?
I want to talk about Sasha Banks' booty. No, so this is more of a an overarching thing for the show since we're covering it as a whole. This will kind of touch on a lot of different things. We're well aware as fans by now that this product is heavily scripted down to the word. We've seen Sheets, we've seen John Cena's scripts, we've seen these promos written out word for word. They're no longer bullet points. These guys are getting like, this is what you have to say, this is who you nod to, this is who you're looking at, you know, and there are times where it's not really all that apparent. There's times where we kind of get where they're going, but tonight I saw something that was, I mean, you could almost see the script on the left side of the screen. To the point where it annoyed the shit out of me, and it was very, very hard to continue the show. To the point where I had to, because I write for a website. But if I didn't, I probably would have missed both the opening match and the main event, because they opened the show with something that maybe, you know, a 14-year-old would write on a role-playing e-fed. Like, what was that? You have six ladders set up in the ring, six or eight. Each one higher than the other, up until you get the highest ladders where Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens are standing. Each one of these people are standing on their own ladder. They're ready. They're posing for the camera and ready for the show to start. I mean, literally, you could type this out as an opening for an e-fed pay-per-view. Like, that's how cheesy and generic it was, and how just so stupid. And then Kurt Angle comes out, you know, because he's the general manager and he wants to inform everybody of what's going on, says stuff that isn't important. Each person gets a talking point, and from Sasha Banks to Natalya to even Kevin Owens, as great as he is, every single word sounded like a script. Specifically, Natalya. Like, did you hear her? It's not new. This is her every week. But good fucking Lord. Like, this is what removes you as a viewer. Like, well, I don't find this believable at all. I'm going to change the channel. Like that's a lot of people's thought process. It's bad. It's really bad. And then you get the moments where, you know, throughout the show you're getting matches where, although not written word for word, you know, they're laid out in a specific way. And this may be just me because I have to write the report, but when you have two matches that are bookending a show that are basically, you know, similar in format, it becomes very, very apparent. And it leads me to believe that the writing staff or the company as a whole is just very lazy. And if not lazy, they're going through the motions. And it just makes me wonder if your mindset is that I want my company to grow, which they're doing, but I want my company to grow at a particular rate, why is it not? Why are we having the lowest Raw ratings in history? Why are we not going this route or that route? Why are we not, you know, why don't we have a superstar like we used to? Where is my next Rock? Where is my next Hulk Hogan? Why are we, you know, settling down with the idea of a divisive crowd that cheers and boos for one dude and being okay with that, as if that's what sells merch and pulls people in and creates new viewers? Because it doesn't. It doesn't. If you have a friend who's never watched wrestling and you turn it on and they watch the opening of Raw, I almost guarantee a fit of laughter and you guys no longer being friends. If I'm using one example specifically, it's the opening of the show, and I'm talking down to the setup. you're going to make, okay, you guys are all in this match this Sunday. We're going to come, everyone's going to come out. You're going to stand on your own ladder, and you're going to look at the hard cam, and you're going to just speak your piece and be strong and whatever. I don't see how that works even in a competitive sport. Like, you don't, the closest you get is to UFC, like a standoff between one fighter and another. But even that is more like, you know, clinical, more technical. We're going to give them the weigh, it's an official weigh-in. What was this tonight? Why'd you do that? I don't get it. I don't get half the shit you do anymore. I don't understand who this is supposed to be attracting and who this is supposed to be making me think, like, oh, this is good television. Yeah, I want to watch this. I wonder. Every person that spoke was speaking from a script, and the script sucked.
Andrew?
The last part of your point with the script sucking and it just felt overly scripted or stale or robotic or whatever, I think that was the part that makes this so insulting to your intelligence, so to speak. Because we saw an opening like this, what, last year, 2 years ago or whatever, when I remember Jericho sitting on top of a ladder and I think Owens and all that other stuff, and Jericho was doing his typical shtick where I think he was just making up random facts about how he invented this match and how he won the first one, and they're just like, oh yeah, where was it? He's like, it was the big apple. Something like that. And I think they were going for the lightning in a bottle kind of concept where they were trying to feed off of that, because that is a majorly well accepted segment from whatever that was a year or two ago. And it's hard to blame them on the idea of rehashing it. My major problem with that entire thing was the first words out of Cole's mouth. Because I'm 99% sure the way he opened the show was saying something along the lines of, with all these ladders, we've never seen something like this before with everybody out here on, like, sitting on top of a ladder. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure I just mentioned when you guys did that, like, maybe 2 years ago. So, like, we have seen this before. Stop changing the narrative and making up facts just because you don't have a better, you know, segue, or your whole non sequiturs are just fucking garbage, so you just make shit up. Like, that's not my fault. That's your fault. And this was just, it was haunted by bad writing. Like, the best part to that entire thing was the callback for the mixed match challenge, where you just had Alexa scream, make her little Real Housewives comment, which was amusing, and then she starts flirting with Braun, and you see Braun, like, basically blush and turn into, like, a schoolboy and just go, like, yeah. You know, that was amusing. Granted, it's not helping his character any, and it's not really doing anything for the story they were telling or the segment, but it was slightly amusing, I guess, as a callback.
Yeah,
the segment was a bad callback.
Yeah, you couple this with the fact that Angle is expressing two main ideas. One, that this is the first time ever that four people from SmackDown and four people from Raw will be in the Money in the Bank match, as if this means anything to us. That means shit to me. That means nothing. This is not a brand separation that has been existing for like 10 years where these guys have never crossed paths before, or we've never seen Braun fucking go face-to-face with Samoa Joe. We're not seeing dream matches develop before our eyes. Like, that's not a selling point for anyone. No one cares, so stop saying it. And then you get the notion, the second thing that Kurt Angle really wanted to point out, is that Stephanie would love for her brand to have the briefcases. For what? I don't know. Better TV, never knowing what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And yet she puts these contenders who are going to be in this gruesome ladder match in a fatal four-way against each other. Like, it's minor, it's small, it's not something that many people will harp on about, and it's not a huge complaint of mine. But again, it's just those things that just, they don't work with one another. So your story, the feeling as an audience, you become more and more detached. Those strings that you're holding on to, you're saying, okay, I accept this as a reality. I'm willing to believe that as a reality. I'm willing to stretch the means of reality in order to accept this. they continue to be just cut one after another with some sharp or with some dull scissors that, you know, the writers are using over and over, and to the point where you're no longer attached. You're sitting there out of habit instead of love for the product. And then sooner or later, you're going to say, I don't really have to watch this week. I have an app that that tells me what happened. I have an Instagram account that shows actual footage from Raw that evening. If I really have to dig deep, I'll go to a website like thechairshot.com or 411media.com and read what happened. I don't need to watch it anymore.
Sure.
There's nothing surprising. There's nothing. CM Punk isn't going to show up. There's not going to be a return of AJ Lee. There's no big time moments. Ronda Rousey is slowly getting her way into just another, you know, diva on the roster, or women's wrestler on the roster. So if they're not creating a compelling reason to watch the show, then people are not going to want to watch the show. And if you're not creating new fans off of the children that you're trying to pull in, then you're not going to have an audience eventually. And of course, we're talking about a company that's never going to die. It's not going to lose viewers. It's certainly not going to lose us. We're going to be here for weeks on end to talk about it and to watch it. But even me, I'm losing those strings. You know, if I was living in a house like that old man in Up, and all of these balloons were the WWE, they're slowly but surely getting clipped away to the point where it's just crumbling down into a former fandom. And it sucks because all they got to do is look at their product and say, what can I make better? I don't think they do that. I don't think there's a meeting that says, what are we doing? How can we push forward?
It sounds like you lost that love and feeling, Tony.
Yeah, well.
Whoa, that loving feeling? Anyway.
Exactly.
I'm
gone. Gone. Gone.
Gone. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Anywho. To Tony's point here, all right, maybe I'm OCD when it comes to this regard here, but I actually kind of enjoyed the opening segment because some of the banter came off as kind of off the cuff to me, which I liked. Alexa specifically and Kevin to a lesser extent, I thought that they were the two stars of that particular segment, but in fairness, they come off as the stars of pretty much every segment that they're in. I also kind of want to lump in the women's match that followed with this here since we won't have a chance to get into it fully later on the show tonight. So I want to lump in that women's match and get your guys' thoughts on that as well. What did you think of the women's four-way that opened up the show tonight?
Well, you know what's funny is while watching it, I had a great time. But I could see where someone would not. You know what I mean? First of all, Alexa Bliss having her own entrance is pretty cool. Like, nah, I'll be right back. Play my shit. You know, like, it's totally Alexa Bliss. But anyways, with regards to the match, I enjoyed it, like, a lot. I had a great time. But I saw all the mistakes that someone like, say, Andrew would readily point out and say, well, this is why this match sucked, Tony. Like, did you not see that potential death? And Sasha, did you just... It looked like someone was playing WWE 2K17 and just randomly decided to turn Sasha to the right and jump. You know? Like, like switching her view to another wrestler. Like, real quick, you know. The match, I had a good time. I enjoyed it, and I had fun watching it. But I don't know if that's because I'm forgiving because there's Sasha Banks involved, or if I'm okay with passable wrestling so long as there's intensity and a good flow near the end. I'm not sure. I think it's more, you know, adoration towards Sasha than it is, you know, forgiving multiple botches. But I enjoyed it.
I thought it was better than any women's match that we've seen on Raw within probably the last couple of months. Andrew, your thoughts?
Low bar. I mean, you're not wrong, Harry, but that's a low bar, really. So, much like Tony alluded to, I was not that big of a fan of that match. But that was for multiple reasons. Like, the opening segment helped nothing. And even though, yes, I agree, Alexa walking off just to walk back in because she wanted to play her music, sure, maybe that makes sense for her character, but it's still stupid. It still wasted 3 minutes. And then you have that terrible opening, and that killed the match for me right there with just everybody standing there and looking at each other. And then what, Alexa kicks Ember or something like that. And then Sasha, or she kicked somebody. Maybe it was Natty. And then, you know, Sasha and Ember just don't move. They don't react. And then she grabs Sasha. Sasha doesn't try to wriggle around or fight back. And she just throws her into Ember or something like that. And I'm like, what the fuck is this opening? Like, to use your 2K thing, it's like they dropped everybody's overall down to about 50, and the characters were just on easy mode. So you're just like, I'm just going to throw everybody around and practice my grapples. So it's like, what the fuck is that open? Seriously. And then, much like you like to point out in multiple matches, Tony, it broke down into little pair-offs. And it was always one or two people were, like, randomly thrown outside, and then it was the one-on-one, unless, you know, you had to have the Tower of Doom fucking spot, because God forbid there's ever a multiple-person match where there's not a Tower of Doom spot. And
in both,
like,
matches on the show.
Yeah, exactly my point. Like, it's so predictable, and I'm like, oh, my God, and there were probably more things, because even you pointed out some stuff that I really wasn't paying attention to, because after that opening, I kind of tuned out. But I can usually accept passable wrestling, but I think it was because the opening was just so egregious, coming off of the stilted actual open, and then a poorly wrestled open for the match. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you should have just had them pair off and start punching each other and then roll out of the ring or do something like that. Like, show some aggression, show some energy, some fire. Just make it seem like you actually give a shit. That's all I wanted to say.
I don't know in what world a test of strength amongst four people, male or female, would make any type of sense in wrestling. Like, I don't, what were they? They were all filling each other out, and then someone kicked someone. Like, yeah, I can, like I said, I get where someone would be like, nah, I'm good. But for the most part, I enjoyed Ember Moon. I thought that she looked crisp, more crisp than I've seen her look. She did a dive that was a cross body onto Sasha that looked a little dangerous, but admittedly, it was cool. I liked it.
What? That's the one that I was mentioning when we were talking about this in the group chat. She fucking murdered Sasha with that dive.
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, why not applaud murder in wrestling, you know? Benoit.
Oh, God.
You know, it's all good.
Oh, God.
And here,
God,
I thought you were going Mysterio, because that actually happened in a ring. And you took a different angle than I thought you were, Tony.
Yeah, I try to keep you on
your toes. We're moving on. My talking point for tonight. My talking point for tonight's show is going to be, in my opinion, the most disappointing thing that I saw on the show tonight, and that was the Seth Rollins and Elias segment. And the reason I say that it was disappointing is because, for as good as these guys have been in the build-up towards their match at Money in the Bank, I thought that this was an off step for them, and I want to get your guys' thoughts here. The whole babyface breaks heels, whatever it is a cliche that's been used time and time before in wrestling. So, I mean, that kind of is what it is. But the biggest, I think, the most disappointing part of this year was that both of their promos seemed kind of off tonight compared to how they sounded in the rest of this build-up here. I'm still really looking forward to the match, and we'll be giving our predictions here shortly, but I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on the Elias and Seth Rollins segment tonight. Tony, I'll start with you.
I thought that Elias' song was one of the best ones that he's had in a very long time. It was very opponent-specific. It was a beautiful roast, and it just, you call yourself an architect, but you're telling me to burn it down. That's funny. I don't. That's great. That's good shit. But yeah, after that, it kind of felt like more of the same. And this is what I mean when I talk about the WWE getting into this groove where when the match is readily set, whether they announce it or not, when it's set in their mind, when they're sitting there saying, we're going to have Elias and Seth at Money in the Bank, they sit there with 5 weeks and they say, what do we do? What could we do? And what they do is they cram all of the setup in 1 week, and then they have 4 weeks of, okay, well, what now? You know? So you have Elias come with this guitar, which has the IC title on it. And as a fan, you know that thing's going to get broken. you know that somehow, some way, that shit's going to be busted, and it most likely will be over Elias's head. That's what you know as a fan. That's what you come to know. That's what you expect. That's just it. Now, when I say what writers try to do, I mean what they should try to do, is take something that's old hat and make it new or different enough to stand out. And you also want to create suspense. And when it comes to a wrestling product, what you want to do is create a buyer for the pay-per-view or the network or whatever. We've talked about that model changing a bit now that it's only $10 a month, but I feel like that still doesn't mean you falter on that mode. Like, you still want to build up to an eventual climax. The climax is never on Raw. It's supposed to be on the pay-per-view. I'm not trying to say I'd write this a specific way, but what I'm saying is tonight you bring out a tool, an object to progress the storyline forward, and then you eliminate it immediately. So we're basically back to step one, where Seth is the champion. Elias has one more broken guitar. We've seen many broken, so why should we care about this one? Why would he care about this one? Because it has a cool painting, or because, you know, the rapper John Mayer gave it to him? I don't see, you know, the connection there that was important enough. So what I'm saying is, when you have moments like this that are cliche, that are old, you know what's going to happen. So when it happens, you're like, okay, well, same thing that the writers say. Now what? What now, you know? Which is fine, because this was inobtrusive. This was not, you know, offensive. We didn't get peeing and tea. We didn't get, you know, Seth trying to play guitar. Nothing like that. But at the same time, this is what they do when they run out of steam, because they gave it all away in the first week. You know, Elias smacks Seth off the announce table. Now what? What could we do to enhance this storyline? I don't fucking know. Why don't you make Seth curb stomp a guitar? That'll work.
Andrew?
Yeah, Tony's points are all solid, and I agree on the, you know, on the whole. But to kind of get to your points of the promos feeling kind of awkward or off, and the baby face breaking the thing, that's been a weird contention of mine with Seth Rollins since his face turned. Because when he was deemed the face of whatever, WWE 2K18 or whatever, he was a face at that time. And they were still trying to get him over as a face, and it wasn't quite working yet. And the commercial was him burning down a warehouse filled with WWE memorabilia and nostalgic items. Granted, yes, I get it. The concept is to make your own path, pave your own way, and, you know, burn it down because you're going to do your own thing. But it kind of goes along the lines of the last year or so of stories where baby faces commit arson, they commit murder, and, you know, they just destroy other people's property. And it's okay, because the guy's a dick, so he had it coming. It's fine. Right? That's how the world works?
They would certainly like you to think so.
All right, so next time I get pissed off at somebody, I'm burning their house down, and I'm just going to be like, the dude's a dick.
And hope for the best.
Or
yeah,
you could just
exactly.
pull a riot squad and just wreak excessive havoc in the backstage area.
Oh,
you know,
we're getting to that, Tony. We're getting to that. It is now time for our final reaction for tonight's show. Let's start out with our favorite match or moment. Andrew?
The main event.
Tony?
Yeah, the main event was stellar. Good stuff. Made Braun look, you know, strong but malleable. Like, there's a possibility that he could lose if three dudes teamed up and took him on.
Four in the case of seven. As I was saying, or in the case of Sunday, seven dudes team up and take him out. I'm gonna make it a clean sweep and go with the main event as well. It's like Tony talked about when he discussed this match earlier. It's not like these guys had to go out there and bust their asses tonight, but they did. And as a fan watching on television, that's also going to watch the pay-per-view on Sunday night, obviously. But as a fan watching Raw on television tonight, I appreciated the effort that these four put in order to give me a quality, entertaining main event on a go-home episode of Monday Night Raw. Greg Watry, Andrew.
I mean, it's pretty hard not to give it to that terrible Sami Zayn, Bobby Lashley obstacle run, whatever the hell that pile of crap was. And just because we kind of alluded to it a little bit beforehand, the honorable mention for that one would be the Riot Squad, just on a whole. Like, throwing trash,
just
cutting a tie.
Causing,
and then
just
they,
causing a riot, bro.
I know, because that's how riots happen. You just throw chips and snack packs everywhere and cut people's clothing.
Caution
to
the wind.
And then,
Tony,
then
you
pretend you're Team Rocket. And then you just draw R's on people and, like, a couple extra lines with a marker and then, you know, blast off again. I guess that makes Live the Meowth, right?
I eat that.
Tony, do you want to share your debt?
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad you took that.
Apologies there. Tony, do you want to share your dad joke from the group chat?
I mean, I feel like I can, you know, bolster it up a little bit. I just, you know, I was watching this particular moment, and I thought to myself, I get it. They're bad guys, you know? They're bad guys. And that's why they were doing what they were doing. I mean, they walked out, you know, they cut ties with all the lies that they've been living in. And I don't want to see them again. I hope they understand.
God damn it, Tony. Motherfucker just quoted Third Eye Blind, a podcast. That segment made me want to be a jumper, if that helps any. Tony, Greg Watry.
I wish
Greg
you
Watry.
Would step back from that ledge, my friend. So, yeah, I would have to say it's the same answer. It's almost a toss-up between Lashley and Sammy and the Riot Squad just, you know, fucking... just getting rid of all the chips, man. Just fucking throwing ruffles around like crazy. Would you say they're ruffling feathers? I don't know.
I believe you did say they have chips on their shoulder.
Yeah, and they're cutting ties with nobody's backstage, because that was definitely a nobody. But yeah, I'll give it to Sammy because, I mean, again, he's trying really hard. I mean, that little rope swing at the end almost had me. Like, oh, that's funny. I come from a different...
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
I came up through the ranks of 411mania.com by covering NXT when it was a game show, basically. And whenever I see an obstacle course, I get this weird, icky feeling in my heart and stomach. And it takes me back to a time where women were... on a spinning bull, and Titus O'Neil was tripping over a keg stand, and a man cut a promo about a mustache, and a wrestler who unfortunately passed away a few years ago by the name of Michael McGillicuddy decided to tell me about a moment that lasted very many moments. So anytime I see obstacle course, I kind of freak out. And although tonight wasn't nearly as bad as anything that Matt Stryker had to host, it still wasn't entertaining. Truly, the best part of that about that entire segment was Sami Zayn swinging on a rope. I mean, when your big, bad, black opponent comes out and says, I'm going to beat your butt, I don't really know what to say to that that would make me feel like, oh, he's going to fuck you up. Like, you know, like, I don't know, man. We've seen people get hit over the heads with coconuts. We've seen fire extinguishers and barber plate glass. You know, person getting tossed through it. We've seen a man have sex with a mannequin. We've seen, you know, our dead body. We've seen some shit. I mean, what is making me want to see this match other than wanting to see Sami Zayn die? I don't know. An obstacle course in which I'll readily admit I could do, but not in 45 seconds, doesn't make me see Lashley as something better or amazing. I mean, that was nothing. I assume at least 2 out of 3 of us could do that obstacle course, especially with a rope where there was notches each, like every foot.
That is true.
Harry,
the notches make it so much easier.
Harry, I didn't say which two. It could be you and Andrew. Who knows? I don't know. But, just little things like that. Well, the good news is, like, Lashley didn't even use those notches. He's like, bitch, I know how to climb a rope. This ain't how you do it. One of those things that suspends belief is, why should I care about this? I don't know who Lashley is. I know he has three sisters. Whoop-de-fucking-do. I have three sisters. I still don't relate to him. I don't know why I should care about this match, you know? And tonight didn't help. So I'll give it to them. The whole Ruby thing, the whole Riot Squad thing, that was just like, I don't know, it was like a little segment of a small play that you see in high school. Oh, okay, they're bad. I got it. These are the bad guys. Okay. Well, at least the line is drawn there. You know, there's no shades of gray with them. There's no possible Roman Reigns moments with the Ruby Squad, rather with the Riot Squad.
True. There's a lot of blue
first
on Liv's tongue.
First of all, the Ruby Squad would have been a better name for them. Second of
you don't
all,
like Riot with two T's?
Second of all, God damn you, Tony. I'm going to be the contrarian here. I wasn't paying as much attention to Sammy and Lashley as I probably should have. I got a phone call during the course of that match, which kind of took my attention away from it. But I was paying attention to the Bayley Ruby Riot pre-match and aftermath there. And that by far insulted my intelligence much worse than the Sammy and Lashley segment did from what I actually saw. So I'm going to give it to the Riot Squad stuff.
Well, the match itself was pretty bad, too. It wasn't bad. It was a match.
It looked clunky.
It was a match.
Yeah.
Scale of 1 to 10, Tony.
Probably a 5. I mean, really, the main event was great. The opening I enjoyed. But we had three to four matches, I think, that were less than, like, 2 minutes. Most of them really didn't matter. They didn't do anything progressive. They didn't change anything that wasn't already there. So, realistically, if you watch the first match and the last match of Raw, you're fine. So, what you're saying to me is two-thirds of this Raw I didn't have to watch. And what that says to me is that you wasted 2 hours of my life. And that's upsetting.
Andrew?
Same.
So you're going to fall at a 5 as well?
For the same reasons, yeah.
Okay. I'm a little bit higher than you guys because, as I said at the start of the show, I prefer my wrestling shows to have wrestling in them, and this one had a lot of wrestling. Rather or not, it was necessarily good wrestling is discretionary, but I personally enjoyed the opening match, the closing match, the Curt Hawkins No Way Jose segment I thought was actually kind of clever. I thought that was entertaining. It was a nice touch. I want to give credit to both of those guys there because I thought that was actually pretty decent.
You were just looking at the one in the red dress. Stop lying.
I mean, I ain't going to lie. That's part of it, Andrew. Way to throw me under a bus there, by the way. Thanks for that.
Tony, stop
but
whacking off in the background.
No way, Jose.
No way will he quit whacking anyway. And then I also really enjoyed the way that the crowd is reacting to the B team too. We kind of had this discussion in our group chat a little bit here. It's weird to me to think that the most over team in the WWE, the most over tag team in the WWE right now might be Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. Not sure why
well,
I thought I would utter those points.
It's because the bar moved to SmackDown, which means the bar is set really low. So the B team doesn't really have a lot to do to get the fanfare.
I am not drunk enough to deal with Tony tonight.
Yeah,
the dad jokes are strong with him tonight.
No shit. All right, anyway. Who's your MVP for tonight, Tony?
Well, I never knew my father, so I'll have to say I'm going to give it to Braun.
That got dark quick. Andrew?
Well, there's a dark side and a light side to the dad jokes, which is probably what he was going for. And, you know, Luke and Leia didn't know their father for a long time either. So maybe you just gotta get in a sticky situation, Tony.
And kiss my sister?
I mean, I don't know what your sisters look like. As long as they're better than Bobby Lashley's, it's on the up and up, you know?
That's true, yeah.
But, MVP, Kevin Owens.
Maybe your stepsister. I'm going to pick Kevin Owens as well. From his performance
what
in the main event.
What part of the country
well
are you from, Harry? Talking about kissing stepsisters.
There are entire categories on websites devoted to that. That's all I'm saying.
Incest is wincest, everybody.
You know, it's on the rise. It's been a growing porn subsection for quite some time. It's weird.
I blame Game of Thrones.
Ah, that is a very, very good, yeah. Can see that.
Incest is the best. Put your cousin to the test. Anywho.
I would like to specify that no one on this show has any feelings towards their siblings, if in the event they have some. Just in case you were wondering. I love my sister. She's my favorite person in the world, but I have zero desire to, you know, bed the girl.
Yes. Let's keep Thugster on the up and up around here. Mostly for fear that she would beat our ass.
She's great. You know, she watched a little bit of wrestling with me tonight. She walked by, she said, ugh, and then she kept walking.
Ah, yes. Good time, good time.
That pretty much sums up the entirety of her experience on this podcast, Tony.
Yeah.
All right, we got some predictions to make here. Due to the fact that Tony has to get going sometime relatively soon, we're going to rapid fire these. We're going to start with Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass Part 2, the rematch. Andrew?
Daniel Bryan.
Tony?
Yeah, Daniel Bryan for sure.
They like to do their rubber matches, and there's another pay-per-view before SummerSlam that I think Bryan needs something to keep himself busy with that being Extreme Rules. I would not be surprised to see Big Cass pick up the win here.
Sure.
Because we still have Extreme Rules to get to before we go to SummerSlam, so I feel like they're going to have a blow-off third match there and some kind of stipulation. Over here on Raw, Bobby Lashley takes on Sami Zayn. Andrew?
Lashley, that has to be.
Tony?
God. Damn it, Bobby. Yeah, Bobby Lashley's going to win.
Tony's over there selling propane. And propane,
and propane accessories.
It physically pains me to say this. Literally, my chest is hurting making this prediction, but I'm going to go with Lashley as well. Though every single part of me wants to see Sammy pull the upset here. All right, let's go tag team titles. SmackDown sees the Bludgeon Brothers defend against the Club. Andrew.
Legends keep it.
Tony.
Shit. Yeah, there's no change there. I'm with Andrew.
Bludgeon Brothers retain. Anderson and Gallows haven't been built up enough in order to take the belts off of them. I think that odds are the tag titles will probably end up back around the waist of the Usos sooner rather than later over there. On Raw, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt defend against Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. Tony?
Fuck it. The B team. Why not? Go ahead.
Andrew?
Oh, you bastard. I was kind of leaning that way too, but I... No, the Leaders of Worlds, I'm going to stick with them.
The Leaders of Worlds, I think that if he sticks around, McIntyre and Ziggler are the more likely team to take the titles off of Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt.
Moving back over to SmackDown for the women's title match, Carmella defends against Asuka. Andrew?
Nobody's ready for Asuka.
Tony?
Asuka.
Asuka by count out. Carmella takes the hike. Here on Raw, Nia Jax defends against Ronda Rousey. Andrew?
I want it to be neither. I want something stupid to happen. It did just them to both not make it to the ring. No, whatever, Ronda. Sure, whatever, Ronda.
Tony?
Yeah, this particular segment actually fell in line with my comments about incredibly scripted moments. This made me not want to see the match anymore. The most fluid moment of that entire thing was Ronda's, cross into the armbar. I don't know. Like, I don't think they're going to let Ronda get the title so soon because she hasn't been built as an established opponent. So I'll just say Nia Jax wins it, you know, probably via disqualification.
The one thing I want to point out why they were going through that whole armbar counter situation inside of the ring there is Ronda's shoulders would have been down for a 3 count there. I think that you can kind of play off her inexperience inside of a wrestling ring with that, and Nia retains.
They just did that in a Shayna Baszler match against Ember Moon, 5 months ago. You think they're going to redo it?
That was NXT. NXT doesn't exist on the main show.
Redundancies exist, huh?
Yeah, redundancies exist.
Yeah, what Tony... Anyway, back over to Monday Night... staying on Monday Night Raw, excuse me. Seth Rollins defends the IC title against Elias. I'm on the record earlier as officially stating this. I stand by it. Elias gets the strap. Tony?
I'll give you the strap. Seth Rollins will win.
Yes, you will.
Going to let it go yet.
Andrew, you're the tiebreaker here.
I pick the white guy with the beard and the wet hair.
Ooh.
I'm afraid I'm going to need a little bit more specific.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They look alike. Oh, fuck. I don't know. You know what? I'm with you on this one, Harry. I'll go with Elias.
Roman Reigns and Jinder Mahal, my vote for this match is that I probably use the restroom and get a sandwich. What's up, Jimmy C? but I pick Roman. Andrew?
I mean, everything's pointing to Roman, but there's so much time between this and SummerSlam and all that other stuff. I'm going to actually say Jinder, because doesn't thing number two have to come back soon? Like, that could be the thing that puts Jinder over his extra interference that Roman wasn't expecting. So, there we go. Jinder via thing number two.
I like that you don't remember Samir's name. Tony?
Yeah, I just learned their name, so he's not too far off.
just like the Thing 1 and Thing 2 reference, so I call them Thing 1 and Thing 2.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that. That's really clever. I'm going to write that one down.
I never said it was difficult.
Yeah.
I just said that's why I like it. Fucking A.
I wasn't enjoyed that. I don't care. Reigns is going to win. Like, that's a given, right? That's what we know. But I don't think anyone gives a shit.
Roman wins, LOL?
No, probably. I'm not laughing at all. I don't care,
Mahal.
Groan.
the only heavyweight title defended on this show. She's AJ Styles' take on Shinsuke Nakamura in a last man standing match. Andrew?
Shinsuke.
Tony?
Come on!
I will be the contrarian here, then. I'm taking AJ Styles to retain, and it ties into my Money in the Bank prediction. But first, we go to the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Andrew?
Women's Money in the Bank, I'm going to say that goes to Natty.
Bastard. Tony?
You know what? Ember Moon.
Andrew stole my pick, rat bastard.
Boom.
I'm picking Natalya as well. I think that eventually Rousey will get the Raw Women's title, and then Natalya will turn on her friend. Air quotes on an audio podcast. Anywho, your probable main event is the Men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Andrew?
I've been so tossed up in the air between Joe and Miz because I think it's going to SmackDown. And just... I'm going to give it to Joe. Samoa Joe wins.
Thank God. Tony?
Watch me show some false aggression towards Andrew because he chose one of the eight people that I'm going to choose as well. Grr, Andrew. Grr to you, sir. How dare you choose something that is closely related to my choice. Ugh.
You have I anger issues, sir. I think you need therapy.
Miz wins Money in the Bank. Miz takes the title off of AJ on an episode of SmackDown shortly after the pay-per-view, successfully defends against AJ at Extreme Rules, faces Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam.
Remember when we're all like, hey, guys, let's do predictions for Money in the Bank and then three shows afterwards and then lead into SummerSlam. Remember when we talked about that? That's crazy.
LOL.
I fucking hate you, Tony. You know what? Get your ass to your meeting, sucker.
Yeah, I get to talk about counterfeit money, cleaning glassware properly, not taking empty glasses from Pint Night's home, and two new drink recipes.
Okay, so the last part's actually interesting. That's good to know. It's a lot like blood tonight. Wow!
Yeah, I'm going to... Okay, so every month I have a vendor come in, like a beer, you know, Ballast Point, just a brewery that's either local or popular. And when they come in, they bring glassware that I can give to the customers. It's a selling incentive where basically you buy a glass of beer, I'll give you this awesome pint glass, you could take it home, and there you go. People who otherwise wouldn't buy a beer will be like, oh, fuck it, a free glass. I love free. So it works really well. Unless your bartender takes the fucking glasses home.
I see where the hiccup is.
One literally said,
yeah,
like, I just moved, bro. I need cups. And I'm like, what the fuck? There's like a dollar store down the street. You're good.
Leave my glasses the fuck alone, asshole. Hey, Tony, what's the name of the bar-related podcast that you have that everybody can check you out on as well?
Oh, yeah, I don't even pimp that enough. It's called Speak, the letter E, the letter Z podcast, Speakeasy podcast. And this month I'm doing something different. It won't matter to you guys because you don't really live here. So, but I'm going around different bars and filming in those bars. There's a brewery called Angel City Brewery. It's in L.A. It's in a small portion of L.A. called the Arts District. And it's blowing up, not the district itself, but the brewery. And they have allowed me to record an episode there. So they don't know this, but that's a huge fucking deal. you know, I speak highly of myself, so they think that I'm some professional. But realistically, like, it's a big coup, and I'm pretty excited to film there tomorrow.
That's actually really awesome.
Yeah.
Is that available on the Chairshot Radio Network as well, or are you guys doing that through alternative means?
I would recommend you go into YouTube, since it's a video podcast, and you can see my lovely face. As far as audio, Greg was in the beginning posting some online, but whether it was my, you know, ineptitude to continuously inform him of the new episode or just him putting his hands in too many baskets, which is usually what he does, there's nothing new up there. So I'm working through other means to get the audio. I know it's not difficult. I just haven't looked into it.
Well, you just have to download a audio ripper for YouTube. It's pretty simple. So, yeah, make sure you guys check out Speakeasy on YouTube there to see Tony Acero and his two co-hosts who are...
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Fuck.
Just watch for Tony. Same reason why you listen to this.
God knows we ain't pulling in any viewers, Andrew. Or listeners, sure. I guess, technically, for audio. You got anything else you want to plug? Maybe Pod is War?
An 18-year-old redhead?
Hey! I like how the jokes come full circle. It's like a small wink behind the curtain, but not really, because people still don't know what the fuck we're talking about. But sure, let's go with Pod is War, and let's go with the actual, like, you know, podcast-related stuff. So, Pod is War is on thechairshot.com on the Chairshot Radio Network. You can see me, or here, myself, and Christopher Platt, the wonderful always use your head guy in the beginning. And we argue basically five topics, similar to like a first take, a part of the interruption. And it's good slapdash banter, and occasionally we make a point. But we don't always aim to, but it's fun sometimes, and we do on occasion. So listen to that.
The Chairshot.com.
Yes, that guy. And even when he's not here, he still finds ways to interrupt me. So that's wonderful. Thanks, Harry. But yeah, Chairshot Radio, everything on Chairshot Radio Network is actually pretty solid. We've got, you know, a daily morning show, which I'm pretty sure it's like called World Class Championship Morning Show or something like that. I forget. Kind of new. And, you know, I'm still getting used to all of the new podcasts we have, because holy crap, we have so many. So, listen, there's probably something for you. Just have fun with it.
Make sure you guys check out thechairshot.com this weekend as well, as I'm pretty sure Andrew will be posting the entire group picks for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view as well.
I assume
you're back in charge of that.
Yeah, me and Greg were talking about that actually earlier today.
All right, so make sure you guys check out the church. In addition, you can read Stephen Mitchell's report on the show, or if you want to, you can listen in next Monday night and hear Tony and Andrew talk about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I will be taking next Monday night off. It is my anniversary, so me and my girlfriend are going to be celebrating. I will be back in 2 weeks, assuming Tony and Andrew don't find somebody to replace me. Anything's possible. So, for the third man, Andrew Ballas, and the Down Since Day One co-host, Tony Acero, I'm Harry Broadhurst, thanking you for listening to the June 11th, 2018 edition of the Raw Reaction here on the Chairshot Radio Network. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you guys. Well, they'll catch you guys next week. Tony, hit your line so we can get out of here.
Oh, Harry, you are the Kim Jong-un to my Donald Trump. Deuces, bitches.
Oh, my God.
Temptation. tragically. Only curtains remain to fall. There's no reason left to stay in this place. We move backwards against the wall. Conversation's over. Communication's dead. I'm still broken.
You have been listening to the Raw Reaction here on Chair Shot Radio Network. Join us again next Monday night at 11:30 p.m. as Tony Acero and Andrew Ballas present the Raw Reaction. And you can find us online at thechairshot.com. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Reaction. I'll see you in 2 weeks, June 25th. Hopefully, Tony and Andrew are back at you guys next Monday night, June the 18th, for another episode of The Raw Reaction here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Thanks for listening again. We'll talk to you guys next week.